Welcome to the August 2026 News Bulletin podcast for commercial shipping marine surveyors, put together by the International Institute of Marine Surveying. We open our podcast with an introduction from our CEO Mike Schwartz. Dear member and fellow maritime professionals, I have spoken about the onslaught of technology many times before, and how it is affecting and transforming the shipping and marine surveying industries, but once again, I have made it the central theme of my introduction to this month's News Bulletin. On the 30th of June, I joined the great and the good from the UK maritime industry at the MCA's 2026 Autonomy Industry Meeting, held in Southampton, UK. It felt like a top-level summit and was a revelation. We think of autonomous vessels as being new tech and, indeed, they are, yet they have been on the scene for some while. The regulatory framework and landscape, however, has not kept pace. It is a complex and challenging business. Even a report of a recent incident in Portsmouth Harbour involving an autonomous vessel colliding with a yacht has not dampened spirits, it seems, for the new autonomous world ahead. An investigation is underway after a Royal Navy uncrewed surface vessel collided with Lutine, a 55-foot X-55 racing yacht, resulting in damage to both vessels. The collision draws attention to a program that most UK recreational boaters will never have heard of. The Rattler uncrewed surface vessels are designed to test the future of the UK's autonomous naval operations, but they are sharing one of the UK's busiest waterways with ferries, commercial traffic and leisure craft. An anonymous source quoted by English newspaper, The Sun, claimed the drone went rogue before striking Lutine, which the source says was under sail and had right-of-way at the time. This is just one small example of what regulators and insurers are faced with and will need to get a handle on. The MCA event coincided with the publication of the new non-mandatory Maritime Autonomous Surface Ships Code. Under the leadership of Dr. Katrina Kemp, the MCA's Maritime Autonomous Policy Lead, this is the culmination of 8 years of work with assorted industry personnel to reach this point. Katrina is well known to IIMS. Some years ago, she was the MCA's External Monitoring Lead Auditor responsible for our annual Certifying Authority Audit. Mandatory adoption of the code is not expected before 2032, that will be the best part of 14 years of planning, preparations and endless meetings. And that is remarkable. The UK delegation, consisting of MCA and Department for Transport leads, plus industry experts, has been instrumental during discussions at the International Maritime Organization to develop the MAS code. Over 100 international partners, including administrations and industry and academia stakeholders, have negotiated and cooperated, culminating in the IMO Maritime Safety Committee's 111th session from the 13th to the 22nd of May adopting the non-mandatory MAS code. The code provides the first international regulatory framework for remotely operated and autonomous cargo ships covered under SOLAS Chapter 1. It was published by the IMO on the 1st of July 2026. The MAS code sets out a comprehensive, goal-based framework to ensure that remotely controlled or autonomous ships are designed and operated to a level of safety, security and environmental protection that is expected of a conventional ship. They will also be required to comply with the International Convention for the Safety of Life at Sea, SOLAS, and other applicable mandatory IMO instruments. The code applies to cargo ships. As it is a non-mandatory instrument, member states are given the opportunity to test its use while paving the way for making it mandatory under the SOLAS Convention. It was clear from the meeting that are still plenty of unknowns, but as the MCA speakers said honestly, we have to start somewhere. What hit home to me was the sheer complexity that those involved in developing the code are having to deal with. Sticking with the technological theme for a moment, I have accepted an invitation as a keynote speaker at the recently announced AIMS International Marine Surveyor Symposium to be held in Sydney, Australia from the 19th to the 22nd of July 2027. Although on the face of it, AIMS and IIMS are competitor organisations, I applaud their initiative and am happy to work with them to support the event and to be in attendance. The title of my keynote address is Transformative AI, Its Effects on Marine Surveyors and the Importance of Standards. IIMS intends to host an event whilst I am in Australia, and I hope to meet members next year in Sydney. Finally, I wanted to say a few words about our training initiatives. In the past few weeks, I had the pleasure of hosting a factory facility visit at Selden Mast Limited in Gosport, a rare and insightful opportunity indeed. The 20 in-person delegates were joined by many more online for the afternoon session presented by Kim Skov-Nielsen, entitled, Rigs, Masts and Sails, What Surveyors Need to Know. Kim shared some frightening photographs taken from his extensive collection as he highlighted and pointed out what and where surveyors should be looking and what they might discover. Judging by the feedback, it was clearly a great event. IAMS has a series of high-profile events, open to members and non-members, planned between now and year-end. You can find out more about them through our website. Survey well, Mike. For our first report, new statistics released by Allianz show a container ship fire occurs every 17 days, underscoring the persistent risk misdeclared and undeclared dangerous goods pose to seafarers, shipping and global supply chains. Allianz Safety and Shipping Review 2026 says misdeclared cargo is still a major contributor to container ship fires. In response to this growing threat, WSC has implemented its Cargo Safety Program, an AI-enabled screening tool designed to identify high-risk shipments before they are loaded. For example, a shipment that was described as hand tools was flagged and discovered to be lithium-ion battery-powered tools, which, if not handled correctly, could pose a serious fire risk. This is one of thousands of incidents that the Cargo Safety Program has already prevented. The latest data published by Allianz also highlights the fire risk facing vehicle carriers, with a fire recorded every 37 days. WSC has taken leading efforts at the International Maritime Organization in support of updated regulations to improve fire safety on vehicle carriers, including the safe transport of electric vehicles. In our next segment, Sailors Society is now gearing up for its Fanzipan challenge later this year. The aim of this fundraising trek is to climb to the summit of Fanzipan. At 3,147 meters, it is Vietnam's highest peak. This challenging trek is open to maritime professionals and takes place from the 27th to the 30th of November. Fully supported by a qualified trek leader and surrounded by your maritime peers, you'll be inspired to reach new heights and will come back with memories to last a lifetime. So why not enjoy a unique weekend full of physical challenge and adventure, while you connect and build a network with fellow maritime professionals? And you can do all this while raising vital funds to help us support seafarers and their families 24/7. You can find out more at sailors-society.org. Next, the Allianz Safety and Shipping Review 2026 has been published and is available to download now. It highlights geopolitical conflict and the closure of the Strait of Hormuz as a major factor that shaped shipping risk and activity. According to Allianz, incidents like the closure and reported mining of the Strait of Hormuz signal a transition toward a new maritime order defined by escalating security risks along strategic shipping corridors, the disruption of established trade routes, persistent uncertainty, higher risk premiums, and a greater strategic emphasis on resilience over pure cost efficiency. In addition to geopolitical uncertainty, traditional risks for the shipping industry highlighted in the review remain a major concern, although the numbers of total vessel losses and incidents have continued to decline in recent years. Machinery damage or failure and fires are among the main loss drivers in this regard, leading to significant economic and insured losses. Around the world, the number of reported shipping incidents on vessels over 100 gross tonnage declined over the past year by around 16%, from 2,818 in 2025 compared to 3,353 in 2024. The East Mediterranean and Black Sea region saw the highest number of reported incidents with 622, followed by the British Isles with 619, which is also the location of the most incidents over the past decade, reveals the Allianz Safety and Shipping Review 2026. According to the report, machinery damage or failure was the major cause of all shipping incidents globally during the past year, accounting for over half, followed by vessel collision and fire, explosion, which remains a major concern on vessels. Machinery damage being the main cause of shipping incidents is significant as machinery claims inflation has not yet returned to pre-COVID-19 levels, with repair costs having continued to rise, a trend which could be exacerbated by the recent conflict in the Middle East. The increasing size of vessels is also driving a trend for a rise in general average claims, where the shipowner and cargo interest share losses or expenditure to save the whole venture in an emergency. Such claims are typically complex and large. Contributions to cover losses can be as high as 50% of the cargo value, which if a vessel is carrying a few thousand electric cars, for example, could easily be over $100 million. You can find the review through the Allianz website. Up next, the Web Sling had a rated safe working load of 1 ton. New Zealand's Transport Accident Investigation Commission commissioned independent testing of the failed sling. It broke at 2.86 tons, just 48% of its expected minimum braking load of 6 tons. The sling was saturated with oil and in poor overall condition. The bearing surface of the eye had been partially cut through, damage consistent with previous use on a sharp or insufficiently rounded edge under load. Some fibers were already frayed before the accident. Only the remaining clean fibers failed on the day. The ship's lifting gear register listed 4 belt slings of 1-ton capacity, recorded as good condition following an assessment on the 28th of February 2025. The commission found it was very unlikely the failed sling was one of those 4. It had no identification tag, no inspection record, and no entry in the register. The commission concluded the sling had very likely been inherited from the previous operator when Thoresen Shipping acquired the vessel in 2021, remaining on board unknown, uninspected, and available for use ever since. The bosun picked it up with no reason to know it had never been through the ship's safety management system. In our next report, Class NK has received authorization from the French government to carry out surveys for French-flagged vessels. With this authorization, Class NK is now able to perform statutory surveys and issue certificates for French-flagged vessels on behalf of the French government, in accordance with the requirements of international conventions, including SOLAS, MARPOL, and the International Convention on Load Lines. As a result, Class NK is now able to offer a comprehensive one-stop service for French-flagged vessels, including classification, statutory surveys, and certification. Next, the Paris MOU has published its 2025 annual report with a total of 16,474 inspections recorded last year. In 2025, there were 9,879 were inspections with deficiencies, 688 detentions and 19 bannings. During 2025, the number of bans increased to 19, marking a rise following several years of relatively low figures. The detention rate also trended upward, reaching 4.18% in 2025, compared to 4.03% in 2024. This follows a period of consistently elevated detention percentages in recent years, including the 4.25% recorded in 2022. The Paris MOU will continue to closely monitor these developments. An analysis of deficiencies and detainable deficiencies reveals no significant shift towards non-compliance within any single convention or regulatory area. Instead, the data underscores recurring areas of concern that consistently show higher rates of non-compliance in both absolute and relative terms. These include fire safety with 16.8%, structural and electrical elements at 11.6%, and health protection, medical care, welfare and social security protection with 10%. At the specific deficiency level, fire doors with 3.1% and seafarers' employment agreements with 1.3% remain prominent areas of non-compliance. Additionally, broaderism-related deficiencies accounted for 4.5% of the total. You can download the report at parismou.org. For our next story, the Australian Maritime Safety Authority has published its Marine Incident Annual Report 2025. Revealing it had received a total of 4,174 marine incident reports along with 452 marine safety concerns. The report analyses marine incidents across domestic commercial vessels, foreign flagged vessels and regulated Australian vessels, RAVs, identifying trends across the entire fleet over the past 5 years. Key highlights of 2025 include 4,174 marine incidents were reported, including 1,229 involving DC versus passenger vessels continue to show a good reporting culture, accounting for almost half with 46% of all reported DCV incidents though comprising only 9% of the fleet. Larger DCVs, 12 meters and over, made up 67% of marine incident reports, despite comprising only 21% of the DCV fleet. 4 fatal 605th marine incidents occurred. 228 injuries were reported on DC versus with 44 of these serious. Most serious crew injuries were linked to navigation, DCVs, or maintenance, operational access and cargo handling, RAVs, foreign flagged vessels. Contact, collisions, groundings and power, propulsion or system failures continue to be the most common marine incident types across all vessel types. Common contributing factors include poor lookout and main engine gearing failures. You can find the report via www.iiamsaustralia.com.au. Next, the International Convention on Liability and Compensation for Damage in Connection with the Carriage of Hazardous and Noxious Substances by Sea, 2010 HNS Convention, is set to come into effect on the 29th of November 2027. The 2010 HNS Convention establishes the first international compensation regime for accidents involving hazardous and noxious substances carried by sea. The conditions for the IMO Treaty's entry into force were met on the 29th of May 2026, paving the way for the 2010 HNS Convention, the 1996 Convention as amended by the 2010 Protocol, to enter into force 18 months later. The Convention covers loss of life, personal injury, property damage, economic loss, cleanup costs and environmental damage arising from incidents involving more than 2,000 hazardous substances carried by sea, including chemicals, oils, acids, fertilizers, alcohols, LNG and LPG. Under the regime, shipowners are subject to strict liability for damage and are required to maintain state-certified insurance or other financial security. Additional compensation will also be available through the HNS Fund, financed by contributions from receivers of HNS cargo in contracting states. It is estimated that approximately 65,000 ships will require HNS certificates of insurance or other financial security. For our next story, the Australian Transportation Safety Bureau has concluded its investigation into an incident involving bulk carrier FMG Nicola. On the 7th of February 2025, the fully laden bulk carrier FMG Nicola was departing Port Hedland under the conduct of two marine pilots with three tugs in attendance. At 15:15 local time, about 5 miles into the pilotage, FMG Nicola's main engine unexpectedly shut down. An emergency was declared, and the pilots immediately took action to control the ship's movement while the port's vessel traffic service mobilized additional port tugs and the ship's engineers rectified the engine fault. The main engine was restarted at 15:23, and the ship was brought back under control. Multiple tugs attended and the ship was brought clear of the channel side and taken safely to sea. The ATSB investigation found that FMG Nicola lost propulsion because the main engine low lubricating oil pressure emergency shutdown switch erroneously activated with all system parameters otherwise normal. Also, the investigation found that the emergency response was as per port guidance, procedures and training. The ship remained underway and kept moving and was safely navigated via the channel to sea. While the ship departed and tracked along the edge of the charted shipping channel, there was no evidence to show that the ship had contacted the seabed. You can find the report via our IIMS Australia website. Up next, the results of the International Maritime Pilots Association 2026 Safety Campaign on Pilot Transfer Arrangements highlight that the overall non-compliance rate has improved slightly to 13% compared to the previous year, with pilot ladders remaining the leading source of non-compliant observations. This year's campaign attracted participation from members from 34 countries submitting a total of 4,051 entries. Key findings of the IMPA 2026 safety campaign include there were 13% non-compliance rate, 4,051 reports, 740 number of pilots participating, highest rates of non-compliance found in Asia, Middle East with 24%, and Africa at 22%. No significant change to historic non-compliance trends. Pilot ladders remain the leading source of non-compliant observations. 35% of non-compliant reports included pilot ladders not secured to strongpoints, and 89% of non-compliant observations were not reported to port state authorities. Next, the chief engineer of the cargo ship Dali, which struck and destroyed Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge in March 2024, has reached a deferred prosecution agreement with US authorities. The Indian national admitted he failed to report a hazardous condition to the US Coast Guard, specifically that the ship was operating with an unsafe fuel supply pump. Under the agreement, he will serve 36 months of probation and avoid prosecution if he complies with its terms. Investigators found that the Dali's operators had been relying on a flushing pump to supply fuel to two of the ship's generators, even though the pump was not designed to automatically restart after a blackout. According to the National Transportation Safety Board, a loose wire in the ship's electrical system triggered a breaker failure, leading to two blackouts and the loss of propulsion and steering that preceded the crash. In our next story, between January and May 2026, GARD recorded more than 70 bunker-related claims, marking a 50% increase compared with the same period last year. The increase highlights a growing trend in both the number and complexity of bunker-related incidents. As highlighted in the Beyond Specification, Bunker Claims Insights in early 2026 report from GARD, data from the first 5 months of 2026 shows a notable rise in claims between January and February and the period from March to May, coinciding with increased regional uncertainty and pressure across global fuel supply chains. While the rise in claims does not directly confirm that geopolitical tensions are the primary cause, it reflects a market facing greater operational challenges. Changes in fuel blending practices, shifts in sourcing strategies, and tighter fuel availability are among the factors contributing to a more challenging bunker quality environment. Industry experts and fuel testing laboratories have also warned that current market conditions could encourage the use of lower-cost blend components, increasing the risk of fuel quality issues and a further rise in bunker-related disputes. You can find the report via the news section of our website. Our next story highlights a risk alert from Steamship Mutual: marine lubricants, a hidden seaworthiness risk. Marine lubricants are vital for the functioning of a vessel's propulsion, power generation, and auxiliary machinery. Inadequate lubrication can result in increased wear, reduced performance, or even catastrophic failures of critical machinery, thereby directly affecting the vessel's safety and operational reliability. During service, marine lubricants are subject to degradation and consumption, influenced by mechanical stress, thermal cycles, and exposure to contaminants. Consequently, there is a constant need either to replenish or completely replace these lubricants to sustain optimal machinery performance and reliability. In anticipation of these replenishment and replacement needs, lubricant stocks are maintained on board vessels. These stocks must be monitored and replenished to maintain adequate onboard supplies throughout the voyage and safeguard machinery reliability, thereby ensuring the vessel's seaworthiness. Where the non-availability or quality of lubricants is determined as the proximate cause of a casualty, a ship owner is likely to face questions as to the seaworthiness of the vessel and whether due diligence had been exercised, especially if the vessel commenced the voyage with insufficient lubricant stock or had knowledge of the deteriorated state of the in-service lubricant. This underscores the need to integrate these considerations within the planned maintenance system and the lubricant management plan, supported by robust procurement practices and contingency planning. You can find out more at www.steamshipmutual.com. Next, the International Safe Containerized Cargo Organization has published revised guidelines for the safe carriage of cocoa butter in containers, updating industry practices for one of the sector's most temperature-sensitive cargoes. Developed by a working group of SINS members, the 2026 edition replaces the previous January 2018 version and reflects significant developments across both the cocoa butter industry and container shipping sector over the past 8 years. SINS said the updated guidelines are intended to enhance cargo integrity and reduce risk by addressing the unique characteristics of cocoa butter, which is highly susceptible to melting and temperature-related damage during transport. You can download the guidance at www.sinsnet.com. Up next, a single defective ladder step, improperly secured gangway, or poorly rigged pilot ladder can turn a routine transfer operation into a serious accident within seconds. Ship operators need to always remember that safe embarkation and disembarkation operations depend not only on compliant equipment, but also on a well-implemented safety management system, effective crew training, and a strong safety culture on board. Safe embarkation and disembarkation operations remain a critical aspect of shipboard safety management. Although international regulations establish the minimum technical and operational requirements for access arrangements and pilot transfer operations, the effective implementation of these requirements ultimately depends on the vessel's safety management system and the ability of ship managers and onboard personnel to apply them consistently in practice. As the maritime industry moves toward the early implementation of revised IMO pilot transfer regulations, shipping companies are increasingly expected to go beyond simple regulatory compliance and adopt a more proactive safety approach. Compliance today is no longer limited to maintaining certified equipment, it also requires robust procedures, effective supervision, crew competence, and a strong onboard safety culture. You can read this article in full via our website. And for our final story, the board of the International Chamber of Shipping has unanimously elected John Denham CBE as chairman of the board. The decision was made by the ICS Board of Directors at the organization's annual general meeting, held at Palazzo Valentini in Rome, Italy. John Denham succeeds Emmanuel Grimaldi, President and Managing Director of Grimaldi Euronet, who has served as chairman since June 2022. That's all we have for this month. Thanks for listening.